though. Our Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins us. He, of course, is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And what a tie in the mayo with Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins. We got a perfect tie in today for Ross Tucker. Good morning, sir. Your reaction just to the news that DeAndre Hopkins is about to become a Chief later on today?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I'm not overly surprised. You know, the Chiefs have a truly unique opportunity this year to do something, obviously, that no one's ever done. I think, you know, they were probably already going this route, but then the Juju Smith-Schuster hamstring injury, I don't even know how bad it is, but I think they just thought, we really got to get somebody else in here. And I love the fit, by the way, for two reasons. One is, you know, for Hopkins, he has made so much money. I mean, he's made so much money that this is sort of the icing on his career, the cherry on top, whatever you want to call it. Like, he has a chance, and he knows it, to really stamp his legacy even more. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player, but I think he probably thinks he's in the mix or close with the numbers he's put up. So this certainly would help that quite a bit, I'm sure, in his mind. And then, you know, and to go from Mason Rudolph and Will Levis to Mahomes, I mean, come on. The thing I like about, though, is Hopkins is one of those guys, he's always open, even when he's not open, because of his catch radius. I was, like, amazed when I met him, and he's, like, 6'1.5". If you ever watch a game where he plays, you feel like he's 6'4", 6'5". Like, he's just, he's that long, and he's that good in contested catch situations. Really curious to see how quickly Mahomes feels comfortable to just throw him the ball when he's in any situation, especially near the sideline, especially back shoulder throws, because he's just so, I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen in terms of boundary receivers and contested catch guys. And so I think that's the thing I'll be watching the most, is how quickly, you know, Patrick sort of feels comfortable firing those throws to him when he doesn't have a ton of separation.
Maybe not for this Sunday and the short timeline to get ready, although it sounds like they're going to try to have him at least maybe play somewhat on Sunday. But long term now with this trade, what do you think is realistic to expect for him? We know this is not DeAndre Hopkins from 2020 when he was 28 years old. He's also dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. So what do you think is realistic to expect from him?
I don't think, just the way the Chiefs are constructed, I don't think he's going to put up huge numbers, huge fantasy numbers for people that are into those things. I think he's just going to allow them to get a few more explosive plays and to be able to convert some third downs that they were struggling to convert at times. You know, I think when you have a guy like this, and it's funny because the Buffalo Bills were kind of going through the same thing. You need a guy on the outside that can consistently win against man coverage, and that's Hopkins. And the Bills didn't really have that guy, which is why they got Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins can still do that, but he's also just, he's got a little bit of Kelsey in his game, and that he's super savvy against zone as well. I just think it's a really, really good fit. We'll see. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for guys like that to be able to click together since they haven't worked together. But that's why doing it now, I think, is a good move, because obviously they're going to be in the playoffs. They get a lot of time to really kind of get in sync before January.
Sometimes we make it like just a physical game, which certainly football is, but there's a mentality part to it too. Ross, you've been a midseason acquisition. You've seen players acquired or traded midseason. How much extra juice does it add to, like, DeAndre Hopkins just be like, thank God it's not Will Levis? Like, getting on that plane, I would think, would motivate you in a way that you have not been all season.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was different. I was just happy that somebody signed me, still wanted me, or traded for me, or whatever the case would have been. I will say this, just side note. First time I got cut, I got picked up the next day on waivers by the Cowboys in October, like right around now. And I went to the Cowboys, and I was amazed with state income tax how much more my check was in Dallas than it was in Washington. I was like, man, this getting fired thing is pretty good. Like, this is a pretty good deal. Not that I would recommend it, but he's actually doing the opposite, right? You guys have state income tax.
So we do.
Go from Nashville where they don't have it to you guys where they do.
That's right. And a 1% earnings tax, too, on top of it. Yeah.
Well, listen, like I said earlier, he's made so much money. There's no question he's fired up. It's by far the best chance he's had in his career to win a Super Bowl, to even play in one. You know what I mean? Like, and I know he wants to win it, but to my knowledge, I have to look it up again. Has he ever even been in an AFC championship game? You know, like, to be able to be in a situation like this, where he has a chance to really do some cool things that he's never experienced before. You know, I mean, he's had some good moments in Arizona and some good moments in Houston, but not like this. Not like where he has a chance to play in a conference championship game, to play in a Super Bowl, to experience those things. I mean, I never got to do either one of those things, and it's disappointing, you know, because I want to be able to talk about it when it's that time of year, and I wanted to be able to experience that, and I never got a chance to, and now he's obviously got a golden opportunity to experience it.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Doesn't this also, the fact this trade happens, prove a lot of the discussion that nobody will trade with the Chiefs, or you're gonna have to pay a super premium to make it happen? They're like, that's just not true. Like, the Chiefs have been able to pull off these trades.
I have no idea why anybody ever said that or would think that. That makes no sense. Every general manager should solely do what's best for them. You know, what's best for their team. And what we're seeing here is that you have to assume that the fifth that could be a fourth was the best option that Rand Carthon could get, and it's why he did it. You know, I'm sure he'll say something about wanting to do right by DeAndre and Chiefs are good operators. Like, I'm sure he'll say that, but I don't know that I believe it. I don't even know that I think that's the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is whatever's best for the Titans.
How long do you think the Chiefs will stand defeated, Ross? I'm curious because you look at the rest of the AFC, same four teams, no mystery. I mean, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills. How long do you think they'll maintain undefeated before you think they have a chance to lose? The Bills?
What is that?
That's 3 weeks. So they would take on, this week they would take on the Raiders in Vegas. Then Monday Night Football against the Bucks. That game looks dramatically different. And then they have the Panthers. So you can just go ahead and write that one in.
And then the Bills. The Bills?
Yep.
Yeah, I think if they beat the Bills, then we can start to have that conversation. And I think there's another conversation to be had there, which is, do you even want to do it? Because, you know, if that's the case, they get to 14-0, they'll probably have clinched home field advantage at that point.
Right.
So do they want to play those three more games? Is it worth the injury risk? I mean, they're already going for the three Super Bowl history. I don't know if they need to have the history of undefeated as well. I mean, that would be a heck of an accomplishment. The same year to be the first team to ever go undefeated and get your third Super Bowl, then nobody could ever say anything to any Chief, anybody from Kansas City, anybody that's ever even been to the state of Missouri ever again for the rest of their lives.
It would be the end of the GOAT conversation somehow. Like, I feel like it would surpass Tom Brady. And by the way, I got it mixed up. They'll actually take on Denver before taking on Buffalo. Then they have the Panthers after Buffalo.
So what if they beat Buffalo, what would their record be?
The record then would be 10-0, and then the remaining schedule, and I'm not kidding, would be Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, and the Raiders and Chargers would be at home. Cleveland, a tough game against Houston, at Pittsburgh and at Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll lose to either the Bills, Texans, or Steelers, but they're going to have a really good record this year. That's for sure. I mean, it's remarkable. Although, I don't know, last year they didn't have a record and they still won it, but you certainly would want to have the walk, you know, you want to have the home field advantage in the bye. It would certainly make it a lot easier. And maybe because of that, maybe that would give Andy more reason to play the guys in the regular season, knowing that they're going to get the bye anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's the point that I brought up yesterday when we were discussing how they would handle the last week of the season if they were in that spot. Like, you're not going to give them 2 weeks off. Then you get worried about the whole rust conversation. I don't know if you believe in that or not as a former player, if you think that's something that actually would be a concern at that point. Let me ask you real quick about the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, I mean, Lamar Jackson is playing better than anybody in football at that position. But we've seen this before, right? Like, isn't it understandable to be skeptical about what this actually means for the Ravens' chances to win a Super Bowl? Because ultimately, it's going to be, how does he perform in January?
Yeah, and that's the same conversation I had yesterday with the Odyssey station in Buffalo about Josh Allen. The Bills and the Ravens are eerily similar to me. They're both really good. They've both been really good. They both have MVP caliber quarterbacks who are top five in the world and give them a chance to win every game. But they got to do it now in January. I mean, Burrow's done it once, at least beating Mahomes and getting to the Super Bowl. Now it's time for either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen to do it. And I think that they can, but to be honest with you, their best chance to do it was last year.
Right.
When the Chiefs weren't as good and the Chiefs had to go to Buffalo and to Baltimore. I mean, that was their best chance last year. Maybe it'll happen this year, but it's not like they're going to be in a better situation this year than they were last year.
Yeah, likely they'll be facing the games on the road. It's just like it's the same teams just kind of in repeat. Is there a team you think could sneak back up? Are you a believer in like Cincinnati's chances to come back? I just don't think they're a very good football team, but is there someone in the AFC you think re-enters this conversation?
Cincinnati and Houston, I'll give them each a chance. Cincinnati's defense, so their offense, Burrow and the receivers have been amazing pretty much the whole time. It's just their defense was terrible the first month, but they've been much better the last two games. So that gives them a chance. And we know they've had some success against the Chiefs. And then I think the Texans, they just have enough firepower that they could do it. Their O-line is not pass protecting very well. That's their biggest issue. But any of those teams have a chance against the Chiefs in a one-game scenario. And, you know, it's just crazy. If you go through and you look at all of the Chiefs playoff games the last 4 years, how many, you know, one play here goes different, one play there, situations there are. And yet the Chiefs came out on top in all of them except for the Bengals one, you know, like the Bengals overtime one. And so everybody kind of has a batting average in those games. You know, you're not going to win them all. It's just the Mahomes batting average in the January and, you know, December and February football games. It's just incredibly high to think, because it's not like they've been blowing people out. You know, it's like these have been one score close games. It's, I would say they're tempting fate a little bit, and that it's unlikely that they can continue to win way more than their fair share of these one score could go either way based on one play games. It's remarkable what they've done.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Good to chat with you again, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.